listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Yeah, welcome to Castrol CarCast. I'm Adam Parole. That's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
Hello.
Over there, so much going on.
Yeah, it's a busy week.
God, there's a lot in this world. Dan Sandberg, who's CEO and president of Brembo North America, is going to be coming in here. Talk about a company that's on the move. Now seeing them just routinely on many cars leaving the showroom. Always made sense, as well as motorcycles and everything else. But you know, you just see him on a Ford Mustang now. Ford Focus. That was a weird. That would have been a weird thing to contemplate a few years ago,
right?
Like if I would have said, "Hey, yeah, Ford Focus, yeah, sold over at Galpin Ford, it's going to have Brembo brakes on it." And you go, I guess they could make a brake and you could have it fitted. Like, no, they just sell it that way.
Yeah.
You'd be like, what? No. Yeah. Is that really?
Yeah, get an RS.
I'm glad we're living
if
in that world.
If you're a car manufacturer, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you go to somebody like them and go, well, you guys do it right, so why should we even try to?
Well, also, your name is synonymous with quality, so why not have your name on our car? I don't get it. It's like women want a Gucci handbag. They don't want one with their name on it.
Yeah.
It says Sharon. One that says Gucci on it. And then Sharon will hold it, right? All right. Go ahead and drink some of my water. Let me tell you about sponsors for this show. Castrol, Titanium Strong for maximum energy performance. Geico. You can visit geico.com and Zybar as well. We'll tell you about that in a minute. So lots of new stuff coming up. Congratulations on the sale of your Alfa Romeo.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It was kind of fun. There was, about a half a dozen bids kind of in the overtime, the overtime way of Bring a Trailer does their thing. And it did well. It's going to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Lawyer in Texas, first thing he ever bought on Bring a Trailer.
Mm-hmm. He won the bid. He wasn't the guy who had multiple versions of that car.
No.
Because someone was in the mix with that.
Yeah, some guy said he had 12 of them.
And it went a little higher than it went around what you were hoping for, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of like right in the middle of the range I was hoping for. So it's good. I'm happy with it. Off to the next project.
Right.
You know?
And we were talking about the plug-in electric Jag last time. There's so many other sort of cars coming out there. I feel like we're just right at the precipice of like crossing over into a full-time electric or full-time whatever. Not a lot of... it's the best of times and the worst of times, in a sense, in that it's great. There's so much great product out there. We're still trying to work out the infrastructure and the charger and the, I'm moving and am I going to move my wife's Tesla charger to the new house.
Right.
And then what if I got the electric Jag in a year? Would I have a whole nother system installed to charge my car? Or could I get an adapter and use her system? Like we're sort of out in front of it a little bit and we need it to catch up with us a little bit. And I would assume that in the next 3 years, it'll all be sorted out. Like my sister got her newest car is the BMW i3.
Yeah.
And okay. I like that car. And I would say about 3 years ago, I went to go out to the BMW dealer and go, hey, i8, i3, let me check this out. And they were like, well, the i8's got a plug-in range of 17 miles.
Yeah.
I was like, geez, $120,000 car.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't allow test drives. Okay.
For you.
Let me go get my cash from the trunk of my car. Just give it to you.
Yeah.
And then I was looking at the i3, first gen, I guess. I don't know. The plug-in range was 80 miles or something like that. And I was kind of like, And I was just talking to my sister. I think it's 220 or whatever it is. I don't know what they've done. I may be botching some of these numbers, but the point is
they did do a bigger battery. They I don't know if they doubled it or they just added like 50% or something like that. But yeah, it was a significant upgrade to the i3, and so now it's a contender, right?
Yes, I mean
in the all electric world.
Now, by the way, this is my sister talking, so we don't know how close these numbers are. But the new i3, the mileage on it, plug-in mileage, I don't know. She said it was like 200 miles or something. Max Paddock can look it up. So now we're at that space where it's going to work, but now infrastructure and where you plug it in and how you plug it in. And
but we still have a bunch of
114 with battery and then with 180 total with the gas motor. Sorry.
Go ahead. Right. So it's got like a little,
like motorcycle
generator kind of deal going on it. Yeah, so we're, you know, we talked about it earlier this week on the show with Goldberg, but this is sort of the, all of the press events leading up to the LA Auto Show are happening now, and then the LA Auto Show starts this weekend. So I've gone to a few of the events so far, and obviously reading a bunch of the news, and yeah, we're seeing electric cars, we're seeing hybrids, plug-in hybrids, Range Rover Evoque, which is the small SUV, the size of their E-Pace, which is the tiniest one. That's now a plug-in hybrid. It's a good-looking vehicle. Mm. The one that I was really impressed with is the new Lincoln Aviator, which is a little smaller than the Navigator, but it is a three-row seat vehicle.
Well, if it's three rows, then that's all you need, I guess.
Yes. And then it's available as a plug-in hybrid, which is cool about it is, by the way, all the tech, all the features, all the stuff on that car are great, and it looks great. 30-way power adjustable seats and all that stuff. Like, it's got all the cool stuff you'd expect.
We're looking at it. It looks good. I'm interested. I'm wondering what the pure plug-in range is, or do they have that?
So, yeah. So the engine is a 3-liter V6 twin turbo with 400 horsepower and 400 pound-feet of torque. That's the gas-only option. The hybrid option is interesting.
It's 450 foot-pounds of torque?
400 and 400. 400
horsepower. Oh, 400 and 400.
Yeah.
Right.
And so
nice.
That's
what's
good.
What's its sticker for?
I don't know yet. And they haven't released the range on the electric. So the hybrid version is the same gas engine. They don't go, oh, let's give you a little 2-liter whatever. Mm-hmm. It's the same 3-liter twin turbo V6, but the electric motor runs off the transmission,
mm-hmm.
and it gives you that extra power boost, that range extender, if you will, through electric motor.
I wonder what the range is.
Well, this is how they phrased it to me. First of all, by the way, it's 450 horsepower with the hybrid and 600 pound-feet of torque. So you get 50 horsepower and 200 pound-feet of torque.
I knew I was right with the 450 somewhere.
Yeah, with the hybrid version of it.
Right.
So this is what he told me. He said, hey, on the gas engine version, we can use a larger plastic fuel tank. On the hybrid version, we have to use a steel fuel tank for whatever the government rule is on putting that next to an electric motor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a little bit smaller because it's going to be kind of near the battery. He said, but the range will be the same for both vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have 18 gallons of fuel in the gas engine version and 15 in the hybrid version, whatever the difference is, let's say it went 400 miles per tank, if you will, the hybrid does it with less fuel. So when you start factoring in the fuel economy, there's probably some sort of – it probably comes down to be like, I don't know, 15, 20% more fuel efficient. But zippy. I mean, you can get 600 pound-feet of torque.
And you can tow with that.
We've seen in the supercar world with turbos and hybrids, you know, like LaFerraris and McLarens, that the electric motors provide that low-end torque where you would normally have a little bit of torque lag or a turbo lag. Mm-hmm. It fills the gap. Mm-hmm. So you can really kind of scoot off the line and then go. Anyway, it was impressive. And, you know, we drove the Navigator up to Monterey.
Yeah.
And that was 400 horsepower. So this would be a little bit smaller vehicle, probably a little bit lighter vehicle. And then if you add the electric motor in the hybrid version, it is a plug-in hybrid as well. So let's say, I don't know what the range is, but if it was 30 miles,
mm-hmm.
you could...
Or the range, a plug-in, sorry.
If you just set it on electric only, you could theoretically, like, go to, you know, from here to your house and back.
Right.
And just plug it in every night and just not use the gas engine for quite some time.
Or, yes.
You know, but you'd lose some of that power. You'd lose some of that,
But it'd be nice to plug it in and just go back and forth to work.
Yeah. Anyway, cool stuff for sure.
Guess who called me at 8:38 this morning?
I don't know who called you.
I'll give you a clue. I'll give you a clue. You ready?
Yeah.
You guys like Italian sausage?
How is Jay doing?
He called me at 8:38 this morning. He's like, you guys coming out coming out tonight?
Tonight.
I'm just checking. I said, yeah, we're coming out tonight. You guys like Italian sausage? I said, yeah, everyone loves Italian sausage, Jay. All right. Good. How many guys are you going to have? I said, I think we have about 3-4 guys, our crew. Okay. See you tonight. Hang on. I said, what comedian calls another comedian at 8:38 in the morning? You can fucking call Jeff Ross at 8:38 in the morning.
He's just going to bed.
He's going to bed. Don't call Sarah Silverman at 8:38 in the morning.
Jeff Ross, glad I caught you right before bed.
Yeah. He called at 8:38 this morning to check if I liked Italian sausage or not, which is funny. Now, he sent me an email asking if I like Italian sausage, but I don't think I don't feel like I need to answer that email. Like, you know me.
Yeah.
I'm Italian.
Yeah.
Corolla, Leno, come on. You know I like the Italian sausage. So
you didn't reply? Don't ask stupid questions, Jay.
I don't know. I can't remember if I replied, but anyway, he just wanted
apparently
to
not, if
triple,
he called you.
Triple check. So we're going over to Leno's shop tonight.
Yeah.
And we're going to go...
well, for dinner, apparently.
We're going to go there. We're going to have some Italian sausage. And then we're going to go and watch Uppity. It's become a nice... tradition.
Yeah. I like that he planned the meal ahead of time. He didn't just tell one of his people, get some food and whatever.
I got to tell you, when you are me or you're Leno or even like a Kimmel type, these aren't things that you just kind of go like, yeah, go handle it, whatever. Yeah. Like you have strong thoughts about it.
Yeah.
I would have strong, you know, like when it comes to the Christmas party, I don't just like say to Lynette, like, hey, go figure it out with Olga or whatever and then leave. I'm like, by the way, if we did that, we'd have 700 Coronas and no other beers. So I don't want to live in that world. So I feel very like I really got to get involved.
Corona's like the veggie platter of the buffet, right? Like get some good stuff in there.
All I know, it's Corona is like a kind of a beer for people that don't really like beer that much. And although there's nothing wrong with a Corona, it's neither fish nor fowl. Like if you really like beer, it's not for you. And thus, we had a couple cases of Corona sitting at the other warehouse for months because I wasn't going to drink them. And I'll just drink Endless Rant. My IPA, and at some point, we're celebrating Olga's birthday party at my house, and at some point, I do what I always do, which is don't go out and buy a bunch of beer. Go get those Coronas over from the shop, bring those over, and serve the Coronas. You know, let them... let the swine have Corona. I don't care. Get rid of that Corona at the party.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bunch of folks who like Corona.
Yeah.
So at some point, I did the move, which is basically all I ever do, which is I go, look, hey, there's 2 cases of Corona at the shop. They're sitting at the bar. Go grab that. Serve it at the party. Good. Then at some point, I saw Dylan. He was like unloading his car. And I'm like, had some cases of Corona back there. And I was like, is that the Corona from the shop? And he's like, no, I just went. Lynette said, go out and get some Corona. I'm like, no, we have cases of Corona at the shop. I've been trying to get rid of for 6 months. He's like, I was told to get Corona. I thought, awesome. Now, let me explain
something. So we're drinking Corona?
Even when you're rich, that stuff is frustrating because it has nothing to do with money and everything to do with like, here's what I'm saying I do not want to happen, and here's what shall happen. So Jay doesn't drink, right, and none of his guys drink. Although they probably drink secretly when Jay's not. Although I've been on private jets with his guys and Jay, and they ain't drinking.
They're not
on
drinking.
On a Saturday night. Who the hell flies a private jet from Atlantic City to Van Nuys?
Right.
On a Saturday night.
It's disgusting. They
do a lot of blow, though.
Oh, they do tons of booger sugar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jay's always like, you want a bump?
Yeah.
Italian sausage, a bump? All right.
He wears it around his neck in a vial shaped like
it's a miniature spoon he wears. Yeah. Go get Dan Sandberg in here, and I'll tell you guys about Zycoat CarCast, brought to you by Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy. Lower underhood temperatures, Zybar is an ultra-thin coating that reduces radiant heat by 90%. Put Zybar on, take heat off. Visit Zycoat, Z-Y-Coat, Zycoat.com right now. Dan Sandberg, CEO and President of Brembo North America, in studio. The brakes just keep getting bigger and better, and Brembo just keeps spreading out. Brag a little about Brembo for a second, Dan, in terms
of... You're doing a great job.
We talked about it. I think you were saying Brembo North America is now bigger than...
We're the largest subsidiary, so like this is the mothership now.
Yeah. You've taken over.
Everybody's
cool. How's your Italian?
Everybody's expanding into everything, but what's Brembo's next frontier?
You know, we're looking at obviously a lot of the electrics. I mean, you can't stop looking at that. I mean, it's all you hear, right? You went to this show, and again, it's just constantly EV, 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 autonomous,
right.
Autonomous. And that really is great for us, but, you know, we just can't sit here and keep selling the same old stuff. So, you know, with the EV market, you want it lighter because it's all about range. Mm-hmm. And the customers are willing to pay a lot to take a pound or two out just to go farther. So we're in a really nice sweet spot, but we are optimizing our calipers. So we're running them in these really cool models that our electronics guys have set up to try to optimize that. So they just, you know, they basically give it to the computer and they say, it has to do this, 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 and this. Design that caliper and forget about aesthetics and everything else. Just design it to be optimized. And you get strange things like we were looking at SEMA when I saw you. You know, you get a caliper that looks like almost looks like a marshmallow that's thrown against a wall and you punched holes in it, and that's now a caliper.
Yeah, it's very organic looking, and it's just shaped. It's completely purpose-built shaped, you know?
And it's fantastic. I mean, it really, to me, it's a, talk about using technology to design now. We've never done things like this. We use this 4D technology, we call it, and you get some very, very odd-looking things. But, you know, the Italians always find a way to aesthetically justify, you know, what that caliper looks like. So
I'm trying to think of electric vehicles. And I'm trying to think of brake calipers and braking systems, and I'm just kind of picturing like a Prius, and it sort of looks like they got a drum on the rear or something like a drum. I'm not really picturing what's going on in the braking system.
When we get
into
the
regenerate.
Yeah, when we get into the EV world and we're trying to regenerate power or charge batteries, how does that work?
Well, you know, you talk about regenerative brakes, and to be honest with you, there is nothing going on in the brakes, all right? All that regen is happening up in the engine, all right? Mm-hmm. So it's engine drag is what it is, which is feeding a motor, which then recharges the battery. But the big challenge you have now in braking systems is, you know, these cars that have these batteries in them are heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really heavy, and the mass that you have to stop now, and we have this argument all the time. There's no doubt, in my opinion, that the brake systems are going to get smaller on EVs because of regen. And you're going to have brake systems that are going to last forever. I don't know what that's going to do to the aftermarket, but you know, at the end of the day, I mean, you take a look at a Tesla, all right? That brake system is going to last 100,000 miles. No brake job at 30.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So it's because they're doing a lot of engine braking, and I guess it would be sort of the equivalent of their people back in the day when people used to drive a stick. A clutch could last 100,000 miles, or you could go through a clutch in 7,000 miles, just kind of dependent on how you drove, how you worked the clutch, how you drove the car. So this is like driving the clutch right in terms of the brakes and the regenerative stuff, which is it's just going to make it last that much longer. So there's not going to be that world. Motorcycles, how do electric are motorcycles, Brembo does a lot of motorcycle stuff too. Are they going to go to electric? I know there's some electric
motorcycles out there, but do they
regenerate electricity, or do you, or those are just for now, just
pure plug-in? There are some systems now on bikes where they're regen too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you know, it's anything you can squeeze out of that extra charge. I mean, we know all about that, right? With our iPhones, you know, you plug it in for 5 minutes just to get that extra 15% or whatever.
Well, I think that the name of the game is when you're moving along the highway, whether it's an automobile or a motorcycle or whatever the technology is, and you put the brakes on, you're just scrubbing off energy. You're taking energy and just throwing it out the window.
Absolutely.
And so you want to recapture that energy that's going out of the window. And if a traditional automobile would just throw it out the window. Now, I don't know how much, I don't know what the efficiency is of a Prius. Like if you said, we are going down the highway and we're going 35 miles an hour and the signal turns red up ahead and I'm going to apply the brake. If that was a Tercel from 15 or 20 years ago, 100% of that energy would go out of the window. But now it's a Prius and it's 2018. Could you assign a percentage to it? Like how, some of it's got to go out the window, right? But how much of it are we harnessing or capturing?
I think they capture a lot because at the end of the day, you don't put any brake on, right? You take your foot off the gas and the car starts to slow immediately. You get that immediate drag, almost like driving a utility, like a you know, like a Can-Am Roadster, you know, a BRP.
Right.
You know, those things, you take your foot off the gas and they just slow down
but
immediately.
And
that goes right to the motor.
Yeah, it's adjustable in some of these cars. You can turn that engine braking or motor braking, if you will.
Oh, really?
You can set
set the acceleration.
It's kind of a coast percentage.
It's interesting because I had dinner with Jimmy Kimmel and John Krasinski, and he's married to Emily Blunt, who's a delight. But she said, I had a Tesla, but my wife made me sell it. And I just thought, what are you listening to your wife for? And then I thought, oh, your wife's Emily Blunt. Yeah. All right, I'd listen to her. And I said, why'd she make you sell it? And then he said, because every time I would accelerate, like she would get nauseous, like because it was like that electric car, like if you sit as – my wife has a Tesla. If you sit as a passenger and they drive it like a golf cart, you'll just – I don't mind getting flung around, but Emily Blunt did. And then I said, you know, you could have just adjusted that.
Yeah.
I think they have an app or something. He's like, oh, I wish I knew that before I sold it.
But it's a torque, you know. It's a torque nausea.
He could do that with his foot too, you know. He doesn't have to get on it.
I could do it with my foot. You could do it with your foot. Dan could do it with his foot. I don't know if John could do it with his foot. He may be not as gifted. So, Brembo, what is the cheapest car or least expensive car that leaves the showroom with a Brembo brake system on it? And what's the most expensive car? Matt will take care of a little business, a little Geico or whatever. And then I'll let you think about that, Dan. Or I'll take care of a little Geico.
Yeah, you take care of
a little Geico. But I want you to think, because I bet we're going to find a pretty big range in terms of MSRP.
Right. But I would also add, is there any Brembo braking systems that you partner with the manufacturers that don't say Brembo? Are you doing like a stock Camry one that doesn't say Brembo?
All the time.
Okay.
All right. Think about
it. Could be an inexpensive car.
I'm thinking about the least expensive and the most expensive.
All right, I'll start studying.
I'll tell you about Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add, save hundreds of dollars on your automotive insurance at Geico? Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket. It'll be the most rewarding thing you do all day. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance at geico.com.
Yeah.
All right, I gotta cancel
my Geico now because of the Alpha, and then I'll get a new project and get more Geico.
Good Geico on you. Dan, what do you think?
Well, I would say, and again, when you say brake systems, does that include calipers, or do
sure.
I have to, or I could just use rotors?
I was picturing calipers that say Brembo on it, where I could go outside of the car at the showroom, look down and see the Brembo insignia on a Ford Focus RS or whatever,
That is probably the vehicle that I would say is the most inexpensive vehicle would be the Focus RS. We've done some Toyota, you know, racing kind of some of their tricked out cars that they mm-hmm. have, the tuned cars, but that's it. You know, you have
what's an RS?
About 40 grand?
Yeah, okay, let's say 40. Yeah, and then what's it go up to?
How far do you, LaFerrari?
LaFerrari is the top of the
I mean, you're going to have beautiful Brembos, which are, you know, strange looking too. You know, you have our Extrema caliper, which is, it looks like Swiss cheese almost, right? So it's a very holy caliper.
Is it crescent shaped? It was weird, and I don't know, I'm not sure if this ties into Brembo or this is a Mercedes thing or something, but I do remember seeing on Mercedes a few streetcars some years ago that started basically really wrapping the caliper around the disc.
Yeah. If you have an 8-pot, those are big boys, right? And they're going to be big and look pretty crescent-like.
And I thought, hell yeah. Like, hey, I guess it makes sense. You got this round disc. Why aren't we just wrapping ourselves as far around? But that'd be like an 8-piston type. That where I was devastated, I don't think it was a Brembo. This was an Audi situation. I did the brakes on my Audi. I think I think it was S4 a million years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they recalled it or they did something on it. And they did that move where like, hey, we're going to replace this diode for free. And I was like, all right. And then they do the move where they go, looks like you could use a brake job. And I go, now I get it. Now I get the scam. You do the diode and then you get me on the hook for $400 worth of brake job. So I said, I'll do the brakes myself. Thank you. And then I took my Audi home, and I said to my assistant, Jay, do the brakes. He said, I don't really know how to do the brakes. And I said, well, just go get some pads at the Pep Boys for the right car, and we'll figure it out. And that was the Audi, 10 years ago, had the big caliper, and it had the S, you know, whatever, badge, Audi, whatever.
Yeah, S4.
Pulled the whole thing off, single piston in the middle.
It was a cover.
It was the cover. That's got to break your Brembo heart, right?
Make me nauseous.
It was literally a sheet metal cover, like popped off. It was like cool orange Audi performance or whatever, like popped off to reveal a single piston.
You brought up a good point too, because now that you're here, Dan, I can ask you this question. There's companies in the aftermarket. We see them all over SEMA, and they make this like aluminum, like snap on cover. You know, that goes on the calipers and like, it's better, it looks better, it makes it look red, it dissipates heat. I was like, how could it possibly dissipate heat?
It doesn't dissipate heat,
and it's got to
cuts off all the ventilation holes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it
makes your rotors
wear.
It's an awful idea.
Who's a worse human being? Okay. The person that says that'd be a good idea. I need to buy one of those and snap. I need to put a hat on top of my caliper.
Yeah.
Or the person that has a mid-80s BMW 318i and wants to put an M badge on in front of it, on the rear deck lid. Who's worse? Who's a worse individual? Who could you spend less time with?
Probably the M badge guy. It would really,
that angers me. I want to ram, once in a while I see that guy on the freeway, I want to ram him.
I just want to jam a screwdriver and pop that badge right off. Damn,
they shouldn't sell those badges separately. Like they have to be like,
you have to provide a VIN number.
You got to go in and go, hey man,
ownership of a real M5.
I got an M5 and I got sideswipe. Okay, let me show me some pictures of the damage. Show me the M5. Yeah. Show me a current newspaper with the date on it held next to the damage.
A hostage situation.
We don't just sell these M badges so you jackoffs can put them next to your 318s.
Yeah.
Who's that helping? Because there's really I don't think chicks know what you're talking about. And then there are guys like me who do know what you're talking about, and we're angry. What's that getting you?
There needs to be like a secret thing on the M badge in the aftermarket that indicates, you know, like the story of like Carroll Shelby would always like sign the dash, and he had the little line with the two like the two lines going through it. But like when the machine signs it, it uses three lines.
Oh,
and that's
really?
How you know
Corolla
the difference.
Logo?
Yeah.
Two lines. Exactly.
Yeah, that's how like you know the difference between his signature and all the like the pen attached to the machine that does
I
it
think
for you.
I think at this point a 350 or even a Cobra without Shelby's signature on the glove box is worth more.
Yeah, it's more rare.
It's a rare find. Yeah. Unmolested glove box.
Oh, I feel like a Celine Mustang is the same way. I think Steve Celine signs every one of those goddamn things at every car show. But
he signs them Carroll Shelby. So, Dan, the we were talking about, you know, what's next. So you think about, you take these companies, I'll take an Italian company, take an Italian company like Momo. And you go say hi to the Momo guys, and they go, we got the steering wheel, and then we got the old school steering wheel, and then we got the signature series steering wheel. But we're doing shoes. We're doing fire suits. We're doing seats. We're doing dream catchers to put above American Indian kids' bedrooms. You know, like everything's just, we're doing Momo everything.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that kind of goes, I get it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like a world where you guys focus on the steering wheel, and they do, but they're also doing shoes. So Brembo does brakes, and Brembo's focusing now on the electric car and hybrids and all that kind of stuff. But what about the Brembo race seat or the Brembo steering wheel?
Well, you know, we kind of delved into the seat area. Yeah. We own Sabelt, which was a company that – well, we did.
Oh, you did.
So, but we decided to really focus a little bit of our investment on electronics in the braking area. So we're working on brake-by-wire now, because everything's going to be electronic in that vehicle.
Yeah. Right.
And we've been in brake by wire before in F1. So
there will be no more hydraulic systems.
Goodbye.
Because you need...
There's two things you think about is how do you get the feel that every snobby journalist is going to complain about.
And that is the magic.
And two, what's the fail-safe system.
And they'll have backups, you know, whether it be electronic, whether it'll be hydraulic like you see on planes. I mean, you still have, 30 years after they put in electronic braking, they still have hydraulics, you know, to back it up.
You're talking about aircraft.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. They're fly-by-wire now, but they're still hydraulic backup.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're still going to have some sort of backup, probably for several years, because it is a brake system. But the adjustability of an electronic braking system fits right into what you want. Especially Americans, right? We want to adjust everything, you know, if we can mess with it. And if you want a soft, cushy pedal, you can adjust that. If you want something, you touch it and almost go through the windshield, you can do that also. All right. So just like those F1 drivers who want to play, you know, constantly with the brakes, you'll be able to do the same thing in your car.
The F1. So is F1 now brake by wire?
Yes.
And I want to obviously we can all picture the master cylinder and the vacuum cylinder and reservoirs and blah, blah, blah of the old school hydraulic braking system. I'm picturing the by wire system, and I'm not picturing it.
It uses a motor to – how does it
switch
the caliper?
Yeah, you're using electronics, and there's motors in the caliper to move the piston. Okay, or even a simpler state. I mean, they're actually doing this a lot, and you're going to see it on a lot of the OE vehicles. You're actually using electronics to trigger hydraulic in the brake. So there's a very short hydraulic system in the brake.
Is that where we are now, where we have cars that kind of hit the brake for you, or how is that working?
Well, they're not brake by wire yet. Okay, we're close. We're very, very close, and I think you'll see in the next 5 years, you'll start to see some adaptation of that system. But the adjustability is something I think that's interesting, and that's the trick, right? Is I don't like the pedal; it's too soft, it's too hard. You know, in the racing side, you can see it because you know you're jammed into that cockpit, and some of these guys just ride the brake all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So those guys, you make them soft, right? Because they got their foot halfway on the brake all the time, and if you don't, they'll just go through the brakes like crazy because they don't go that fast either,
right?
Because they're just sitting on the brakes. So you know that'll give us the ability in a lot of cases to really, really customize the vehicle, which is going to be cool, I think.
Dan, scenario.
Yes.
I'm going to let you think about it. Worst guy, guy you could hang out with least. Guy who puts the aluminum fake hat on the front caliper. Guy who's put the M badge on the mid-80s 318i. Or guy who sought fit to paint his front and rear caliper, especially rear caliper, the steel, miniature steel one from the 70s and 80s, rear steel one, yellow. Spray painted that thing yellow. You know, it's miniature and you can tell it's steel and it's got that weird little gap on it.
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you think about that. First, Castrol Edge, heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown. Rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to get stronger under pressure. Helps fight friction, deliver maximum levels of performance from your car. It's 3 times stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. Castrol Edge, unlock the true performance in your car's engine. All right, Dan, who could you hang with least?
That yellow guy is going to have to, I'm going to have to say that guy is going to go to the top of the list of least hangable.
Mm.
Yeah, I can't, you know, come on now. Go out, go to the Brembo website, find out where they sell our brakes, and get the real thing. I mean, that yellow paint that you put on there will probably be crusty and breaking off and melted and whatever else. It could do.
You mentioned so just ugly. Yellow paint. I was going to say there's a worse guy than the guy who stencils on Brembo logo onto that.
There's no room to stencil it on, though. It's the little steel one.
The weird gap in the tab.
Or if it comes from China, it's Bimbo sometimes. they don't get the letters right either.
Go to Brembo.
They do that on purpose for copyright reasons.
.com, Brembo.com. I'll give you one more guy. The guy who upgrades with the 22-inch rims, but doesn't upgrade the hat, doesn't do the caliper, the rotor, anything else. So now the rotor. So first, what you do is the car came with 18s, but now you've stepped it up to like a 5-spoke 22, and there's nothing but daylight coming through those spokes now. It's a wide open window to your rotor and your caliper, and now they've been dwarfed by the size of the rim,
and it's yellow. And you painted it yellow.
So the bottom of the line. So just Brembo range. Mm-hmm. You got a 40,000 dollar approximately Ford Focus on one end toward the bottom, and then at the top you got the LaFerrari. I don't know what they retail for. You got to get in line.
Yeah,
maybe they'll sell you for
million plus.
Yeah,
million
maybe
plus.
You get one for 1.7, but they're trading for 3.5 or whatever. Yeah. So it's kind of hard to figure out the exact price. But if you were fortunate enough to let the factory saw fit to sell you a one, you find out, Max Pat, LaFerrari, not at the last Mecum auction, and not what Sammy Hagar's asking for his on Bring a Trailer. But what is the factory price for a LaFerrari if, in fact, you're on the very short retail list of people who could buy it? I think it's, you know, 1.6, 1.7, something like that.
I think you're right.
But I'm just going to go ahead and bump it up and call it a $3 to $4 million car because that's what they trade for.
Yeah.
Now, if you want the Focus, they probably would sell you that. There's probably not a list.
There's probably not. There was markups on those things. There was a list when the RS came out. Yeah,
it's a fun car.
Yeah,
it really was a fun car to drive.
Yeah, we drove one here too. It was kind of fun to do. At SEMA, we were talking about, and a minute ago, we were talking about the new caliper that you have, very sort of organic looking and kind of cool. But the PRI show is sort of like the racing version of SEMA.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up in a week or two weeks.
Next week.
Where is that?
Heading to Indy.
Yeah, I don't know why they do it. It's so cold.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's so cold.
That show, no matter what, it can be 45, 50 degrees in Indianapolis. One day before that show, it always beelines to negative 10 degrees.
That's it. Like, people from here go there and they're like, oh, what am I doing? But everybody says the PRI is such a great show. And it's owned by SEMA. and they do that show.
To me, it's obvious, right? You used to have two racing shows. You had one in Orlando that was like about 3-4 weeks before the Indy show, and then you had PRI and Indy, and the company bought it, combined the two, and of course, where would you choose?
Right.
In the middle of the winter.
Indy.
Let's go to Indy.
1.5, says Max Zapata. Wow. But there's about a $2 million markup on those bad boys.
You got a new caliper, performance racing industry.
Mm-hmm. Yes, something like that. Yeah, we have a GT caliper. It's a fun show. It's a neat little show. It's not what you sometimes would think. You see a couple NASCAR guys running around there, but this is all of your grassroots, all the way up to just below probably, you know, the super pro series like NASCAR or something like that. So
is there like a lot of spec Miata stuff there, like that kind of stuff?
There's anything and everything that you would want as a race car driver for your car. Whether you're just a guy driving with no number or all the way up to a semi-pro racer. And actually, there's quite a few professionals
like
there,
too. Like the Comp Cams booth is a little different at PRI than we see at SEMA, because now they're focusing more on maybe custom cam profiles or some things that are more attractive to the racing community. Mm-hmm. And drag racing, road racing, all types of racing. It's a little bit more that side of it, which is kind of cool. So.
But you got a lot of guys now who are buying cars, right, and tracking them, right? I mean, it's a huge thing. You go buy your condo at the racetrack, and you go out on the weekends. So there's a lot of people now that are coming to these shows to try to juice up their cars to get those extra seconds, you know, on the track.
Right.
Yeah, so tell us about the GT caliper that you guys are unveiling.
Well, it's a forged caliper. So what that means is instead of casting that aluminum that we have, it's forged, which means it's a stamping. And then we machine off the stamping. So it's extremely stiff. Gets really great quality, super lightweight again, because we're doing that optimization that we do. And it's probably going to be the next generation of what you're going to see from us in the racing area.
How many pistons is it, or can you get different configurations?
We've got six and fours.
Six and fours.
Would you put six in the front, four in the rear, or just whatever?
He is a race car man. I know.
I have Brembo's. On, let's see, what do we have Brembo's on? We have on Newman's GT1 championship car from 86.
We do have Brembo's on.
That was a challenge for us, too.
Yeah, I do. Everything's a challenge. I'm trying to get my goddamn engine back for that car. It's been 3 years.
Yeah.
I always love it when someone has your engine for 3 years, and then you go, hey, could I have my engine back? And they go, yeah, but we're still working on a few. It's like,
meanwhile, the guy you see at the track, he's like, oh, they did four engines for me this year alone. Like,
haven't you found that when you send your car to a custom guy, you do not want to... It's like when you take your dog to the vet, when they want to do something, they take him in the back room, you sit in the room, right? It's like you don't want to see it. And I just... You go to these custom shops, and there is crap everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, it's like you don't want to see what... I mean, where is your engine when you send it away?
I've dealt with enough contractors. It's like the phone starts ringing. Whoever squeaks the most gets the grease, right? So it's like you send your engine away and they say they're working on it. But if you don't call them every 2 weeks and yell, how's it going? They're not working on it. They're working on the guy's engine who's calling them every 2 weeks.
Right.
So they just kind of, it's a natural human thing. And then you call them and it's been 2 years and they go, yeah, we're just finishing it up. But it's like, they're just getting to it because you're calling now.
The business model of an engine builder is how to reduce the amount of phone calls they get because they don't want to talk to anybody. So you're right. If you call all the time, they're like, make this guy stop calling me.
Right.
All right. Finish his engine and then.
Let me explain the real business model. How many people in your area can build a V6 full race Nissan turbocharged 700 horsepower engine? And if the answer is, not many, or nobody but me.
Nobody.
Then the answer is, we'll get to it when we'll get to it.
Yeah.
I think it's a lockdown mechanism. It's the way to lock down the business. You say, give me your engine, and then they just line them up. But they don't really line them up. They stack them up, and they put them up in the attic, and who knows what they do.
Oh, yeah.
Then you can't get them back, so they know they got the business. It's a backlog.
Well, we got Brembo's on the car that engine is going into.
Yeah.
And I think
they're on the M3.
I think we did it on Newman's Camaro / Oldsmobile. I seem to recall the Oldsmobile, or one of the Oldsmobiles. There's a couple of Cutlasses. One, I think the Cutlass with the Camaro has it. By the way, there's a full 80s, late 80s, mid 80s, late 80s Trans Am tube frame. They're doing a full vintage race at Long Beach this year before the Long Beach Grand Prix.
Oh, yeah. They've been doing the vintage race kind of during that weekend. I don't know if it's – maybe it's not the same weekend anymore. But
yeah.
Because we know Tommy Trissi's been – I saw him there running vintage cars there a few times. And there was a theme in the past. They did like all Can-Am cars and the Trans Am cars.
I think they're doing like an 80s Trans Am car, and they've invited me out. Take one of your Newman Oldsmobiles out there. And I'm like, okay. But I've driven 1,000 laps on that track, and it's nothing but concrete barriers.
Yeah.
There's no runoff. There's no anything anywhere. The every single turn is go all the way inside to the one concrete barrier,
yeah,
and then go all the way out to the other concrete barrier. And if you're driving it right, you'll be right up against each concrete barrier pretty much all the time.
Right up against it. You light a match off that.
And I thought,
sticking your hand out the window.
I like that idea, but that Newman car is so nice.
Yeah.
A little runoff would be nice.
A little bit.
All right. Tell us about Zybar.
Zybar. Zybar is an ultra-thin coating for manifolds, headers, turbos, tailpipes, mufflers, and tips. It has a thickness of 0.001 inch, which reduces radiant heat by up to 90%. And it's the first DIY thermal coating of its kind. Now, that's impressive. It's non-corrosive and does not break down, even in a 2,000-degree environment. It makes wraps, shields, and expensive ceramic coatings obsolete. Use Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, and fuel economy, and lower underhood temperatures. Zybar comes in four awesome colors. They have bronze, midnight black, cast silver, and Porsche gray that will make your engine a showpiece.
I think they can also do a custom color,
too. You got to call them up and do it. And we saw they had this cool Camaro on display at SEMA, and the whole thing was done underneath every turbo piping, and it was fantastic. It looks so good.
I like the way they do the inside of the headers, too.
Oh, yeah. Zybar is available for purchase at Zycoat.com and many auto parts retail locations. Put Zybar on, take heat off. Again, that's Zycoat.com, Z-Y-C-O-A-T.com.
All right, I'm going to be doing live podcasts with Rob Riggle and company. The whole crew is going to be out there. That'll be tonight, Anaheim Grove. I think Matt's going to be
out there. That
one, too. So come on out and say hi. And Flappers Burbank, we're doing Unprepared. And I'm going to do some of that tonight with Riggle as well, but we'll do a full show at Flappers in Burbank, December 18th. You can go check out Adam Carolla Goes Racing. Watch season 2, motortrend.com/Adam, and season 1 and 2 available on Vero, V-E-R-O. We're all over the place. We're going to, where were we? Goodwood and Laguna Seca, and we got it all. So check that out. Go to Brembo.com and see all the great offerings from Dan and company over at Brembo.
We have a new website coming up, by the way, which you cannot go to today. You have to wait till January 1 to go to. But it's going to be where we feel the aftermarket's going. We think people are going to be buying, maybe your trip to your local auto shop may become obsolete because you want to, you go to everything.
Yeah,
you
everything's
go,
mail order.
I even saw somebody here as a Blue Apron addict,
Yeah.
Yes.
Even your food you're bringing in. Why not bring your rotors in, right?
So the new website's going to sell all the replacement OE stuff, brake pads and rotors.
And rotors, correct. Yeah. BrembostoreUSA.com.
There you go.
BrembostoreUSA.com. Check out Chassis. We have all our movies over there with... we have the Indian Wrecking Crew narrated by Jay Leno, by the way, and many all our docs and
you
everything.
You can hear him eating Italian sausage in the middle of the...
like a pimento loaf. Shift and Steer, Matt's podcast as well, Podcast One. Until next time, Adam Kroll for Dan Sandberg and Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.